So, at this time last week, we heard Absolute Discretion. And now, let's hear the rest of the story. But don't worry if you're only just joining us here. It begins with a thorough recap. This is The Salamander Chest.
The story so far. Arthur Vernet, a chemistry student at Oxford in 1872, was asked by a fellow student to look into the mystery of some threatening letters received by his aunt, the aggressively moral Maud Grattan. Her brother, the Earl of Warminster, and the father of Vernet's friend, would never have allowed such a family secret to be investigated by an outsider, so Vernet claimed merely to be researching the Grattan's family history. The Earl reluctantly agreed that Vernet could stay in his house, where he soon made the acquaintance of a chambermaid, Alice Selwood.
What I need in this house, Alice, is an ally.
What?
Someone who can be discreet.
Oh, I won't tell a soul.
And on whose information I can rely. Will you help me?
Well, how do I know I can trust you?
They say the eyes always reveal a person's true character. Do you see deception in mine?
Oh, I think they're very nice eyes.
Although the Earl would rather die than admit it, he was besieged by troubles. His brother Edward had been rendered insane through a blow to the head during a riding accident and had been committed to an asylum, whilst the upkeep of a large estate was crippling the Earl financially. So far, he'd resisted offers from Buckmaster, the owner of the local quarry, to buy the estate. Vernet went to see Buckmaster, but met fierce resistance from Buckmaster's henchman, Walters.
All right, Tolly, I say them. That's far enough.
When Vernet did manage to speak to Buckmaster, his reception was no more cordial. So he called next on Alice Selwood's mother, a former housekeeper of the Earl, to see if she knew anything about the threatening letters.
Well, I'm sure I don't know who would want to write anything nasty to the Earl.
I did not say they were to the Earl.
Oh, well, I just assumed...
One other query. The line of paintings in the library seems rather uneven. Are any of them missing?
Three. They were taken.
Stolen, do you mean?
We never knew. They just disappeared.
The Earl finally decided to trust Vernet.
There have simply been three letters sent to me, Sister Maud. They alleged a passionate affair of the heart in her youth.
And to reveal the contents would seriously undermine her somewhat rigid moral stance within this community.
You judge the situation precisely.
Edith Grattan summoned the Earl abruptly from a shooting party. Their sister Maud had received through the post a cardboard box.
Oh! Open it away from me! I do not wish even to think about it!
An animal's heart by the look of it. Quite fresh, too.
That same day, the Earl's gamekeeper was found dead.
Perfectly obvious what happened. Mitchell put his foot into the trap and the shock made him drop his gun. Carrying it loaded, of course, and by damnable ill fortune, it discharged full into his chest. Very tragic accident.
That is certainly what we're intended to believe.
As Vernet came closer to solving the mystery, troubles piled up for the Earl and his family. Then, one night, Alice discovered that part of the house was ablaze. When the flames died down, a charred and unrecognizable body was found.
Good Lord. Vernet, he's missing. This would explain why. He must have thought there was something he could find out in here. Get something to cover up the body, William, will you?
Alice was distraught.
What's this, Blaine? Alice not well?
Oh, your lordship, look!
Great heavens, Vernet, you're alive. Where the deuce have you been, sir?
I have been burgling, my lord.
What?
It was the only way I could obtain the evidence that was needed. I found a poacher's knife, for example.
Oh.
And writing paper that matched the note sent with the package to your sister.
So you know who was responsible?
I do.
Oh, Arthur!
It was Walters, the guard at Buckmaster's quarry.
It transpired that Walters had been a warder at the hospital to which Edward Grattan had been committed. Clearly they must have spoken. But what was it that so interested Walters about the Earl's estate? And why was he so anxious to frighten the Earl into moving out?
In the name of wonder, the paintings!
Which paintings are those, your lordship?
The ones that disappeared, I imagine, Alice.
It was the final straw that made us have Edward committed. Came down one morning and found the three best pictures in the collection were missing from their frames. Edward was beside himself with amusement, so he must have been responsible. But we could not extract from him what he'd done with them.
I would think the sale of any one of them would transform the finances of this estate.
The Deadwood was quite capable of saying he'd hidden them, when in fact he'd torn them into pieces and scattered them to the wind.
Walters believed him sufficiently to lose his life in the search.
Oh, so that's who you think they found in the drawing room?
It is a logical conclusion. He was certainly not at home when I called.
Then, in heaven's name, let us see if he's found anything.
There's a hole cut in the floor under the parquet. Let me see.
There. Looks like a telescope all wrapped up.
More likely to be Canaletto and company all wrapped up.
Damn me, it is. Marvellous! Edward didn't destroy them at all, and the fire hasn't reached them either. Some good has come of your stay here after all, Vernet, and that's a fact. Now, Vernet, your contribution to events here has been a significant one, and it should be recognised, so I intend to write you a cheque.
That will not be straightforward.
Why not? You surely have an account with a bank?
Yes, I do, but in my own name.
What?
We agreed with your son that if I had a false identity, I could disappear as if I had never existed, as I intend to do.
We? Are there more of you involved?
Only one, a fellow chemistry student. His is the brain behind the whole plan. Unfortunately, Sherlock was laid up at the last moment when a bull terrier bit him in the ankle, so I had to take his place and employ his methods.
Sherlock, you say?
Oh, just a slip, my lord. It is better with no names, I'm sure.
All the time Arthur had been carrying out his detective work, Alice had been his indispensable helper, covering his tracks and ferreting out information. Finally, there was a night of romance. But now it was time for Arthur to take his leave.
2 sovereigns? What for?
For all you've done for me, Alice.
Oh, now you're insulting me.
Last night, well, that was a spontaneous act of kindness, I know. But when I first arrived, you undertook to be my ally, and you have been. That deserves to be rewarded.
Well, in that case, I'll take them, and willingly. Oh, do you have to go now?
I must get back to my work in Oxford.
Would I like Oxford?
Not down to earth enough for you, I suspect.
But he must be here.
Well, he isn't.
Are you sure you heard the name right? It's Arthur Vernet.
Definitely no student of that name at this college.
But I've tried all the others.
Then he's not in Oxford and there's an end of it.
But he must be.
Look, girl, if it's a man you're after, don't waste your time thinking up ways to get yourself into a college. Just go down somewhere busy, like the Chequers. You'll find plenty of men there.
I'm not after any men, you great stuff. Toad. Oh, I'm looking for this particular one.
Then push off and look for him. And at least don't waste my time.
Arthur, where on earth have you got to?
We present Ben Daniels and James Slavin in The Salamander Chest by Grant Eustace.
More tea, Arthur.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I really can't imagine why you choose to remain in Oxford now all the other students have gone down for the summer.
It's not exactly choice.
Oh, dear. Well, have I stumbled inadvertently on some domestic unpleasantness?
Not at all. It's just that the roles of Her Majesty's ambassador in Berlin and of fatherhood sit somewhat uncomfortably together.
At least in your father's eyes.
I didn't say that.
Oh, you didn't need to. And your mother's there with him, of course.
Yes.
What about relatives?
There are none whom I would wish to visit.
Yes, that is a consistent failure of one's relatives, I find.
I shall call on some friends, but only for a few days at a time. If I wish to keep them as friends, announcing myself for a stay of a month or more will scarcely help.
Well, people are so troublesome. Life would be so much easier without them.
I could ask the same question. Why do you remain here all through the summer?
Well, my case is different. I've long grown out of the restlessness to which youth should be prey. I can remain warm within my Oxford cocoon, indifferent to the outside world.
But surely the outside world will demand your attention anyway.
How would it?
We spoke of Berlin just now, for example. The rising power of Germany cannot be ignored, especially since it went to war with the French and soundly beat them.
But how will that affect me? Will it perchance change the laws of chemistry I have to teach? Will water suddenly become two parts of oxygen to one of hydrogen because the Prussians have said so?
Then what of events closer to home?
Well, as long as we have the excellent Harris as sentinel at the gate, well, even women are kept at bay.
Have some been trying to gain entry?
Well, one woman at least, no doubt wishing to assail our bachelor virtue. I'm surprised you haven't heard Harris telling the story.
You would think everyone in Oxford would be aware of the college rules.
Ah, no, she was not a local girl, apparently. Oh, otherwise she would not have concocted such a transparent device as trying to locate a non-existent student.
What name was she asking for?
Oh, I believe it was Vernet.
You're absolutely sure?
No question about it, Mr. Beresford, sir. She insisted that was the name. So I knew then she was a fraud.
Not necessarily.
But we got no student of that name, have we?
No, but there could be some misunderstanding. Can you describe the girl?
Oh, quite short. Only stood as high as my shoulder. A bit thin for my taste, but pretty, I suppose you might say.
Yes, I might. Dark brown eyes.
Oh, never noticed her eyes, tell the truth.
Dark brown hair.
Yes. Yes, her hair was brown, and I did remark that it was tidy. No scraps blowing about in the wind. More like you'd expect in a lady's maid.
And when you told her there was no Vernet here, what did she say?
Nothing. She just looked a bit off the hinges and walked back towards the High Street.
Have you any idea where she went?
None at all.
You wanted to see me?
If you run this place.
I own this place. Now, what's your business?
I'm looking for somewhere to work.
What is?
Well, I've worked up till now as a chambermaid.
Who for?
The Earl of Warminster.
Yes, and I'm Florence Nightingale.
I did work in his house.
Oh, well, it doesn't much matter one way or the other. It's how you work here that counts.
Well, does that mean you'll take me on?
I might. If you'll ply the tables in here when my wife doesn't need you for the rooms.
Well, I'll do that.
And that's all you'll ply, mind?
I don't understand.
Oh, want to play the innocent, do you? Don't go touting for men while you're working for me. That's what I mean.
I don't know why everybody thinks that's what I'm about.
It's called experience. What's your name?
Alice Selwood.
The girl at the gate must have been Alice Selwood.
And who is she, Arthur?
Someone I met when I was down in Somerset doing Edgar Grattan a favour.
A friend of the Grattans?
She was a member of the Earl of Warminster's household staff.
Indeed. Is one to understand that saying you met her is something of a euphemism?
She took care of me one evening when I was hurt and, well...
Yes, quite so. You spare me the particulars. Then why, pray, is she asking for, what was the name? Vernet.
That was my nom de guerre at the time. I was trying to be discreet.
Not trying hard enough, by the sound of it.
Believe me, it's not easy to act out and sustain a role as someone else.
Well, I shall take your word for it. I find it taxing enough acting out the role of my own persona. Now, if this girl has journeyed all this way to seek you out, then she must be in some sort of trouble. Must we presume that she wishes to lay the blame at your door?
It's possible.
How long ago were you there?
9 months.
Well, I believe that can be a significant period of time.
Harris was quite specific about how slight her build was.
I see. Well, in any case, she doesn't know your real name, so she cannot find you.
Then I must find her.
I commend your concern, but is that wise?
She helped me. It's the least I can do. But where could she have gone?
Alice!
Yes, Mr. Bracknell?
Those parties at the corner table will die of thirst soon.
Oh, right, sorry.
Keep your eyes about you, girl. Oh, good morning, Mr. Gallagher.
It certainly is not. Is Mr. Gocher here yet?
Over at the far table, sir.
Right.
Good morning, Miles.
Oh, don't you start, Andrew. It's an absolute pig of a morning. Read this.
Her husband? How could he know about you?
He couldn't. And he wouldn't believe it if he were told. He's such a ninny that if he came upon me in bed with his wife, he'd probably apologise for being in the wrong house.
Then what do you think this note really signifies?
That someone else has cut me out. I'd feed his entrails to my hounds if I could find out who he is.
Couldn't you force a confrontation with us?
How can I, you oaf? The flunky who guards her door and gave me this note stands over 6 feet and has the build of a shire horse.
What would you like to drink, sir?
Well, we'll have another bottle of this.
Right you are.
Now that's a sight to make a morning seem altogether better. Who is she?
Arthur, let us reason our way through it like any other problem.
Yes. The fundamental question is whether Alice stayed in Oxford or not.
Which is the more likely?
If she has the will to get this far, I think she might persevere a little longer.
I concur. So?
So she needs a roof over her head.
Correct.
Well, that is scarcely any help. She still could be anywhere within a 15-mile radius.
Well, no, I think not. She is not a practiced vagrant who is skilled in sneaking into barns when the owner is not looking.
I know, but to pay for accommodation needs money. I can't believe she has much.
Precisely.
So she would have to turn her hand to earning at least her board and lodging.
Now, there you have it. Has she always been employed as a domestic?
As far as I know.
So where should she go?
Any of the great houses would probably insist on taking up references. But a coaching inn might not be so particular.
And thus you distill it down to its essence.
Oh, there must be a dozen or more places, even so.
Well, then you had best get started.
So, what do you know about this, Alice?
I hear she's trying to find someone. Keeps asking customers if they know him.
Does she now? That sounds like the key to a little amusement.
With her, you girl trap.
Most certainly. I deserve some recompense after that bitch's behaviour to me this morning. I'll take this Alice home with me.
Well, up behind you on your horse. That'll put her right out of sorts.
You forget, my dear Andrew, that I was calling on a lady this morning. I have a carriage. Now, quickly, before she gets back, what's the name of the man she's seeking?
I don't know.
Oh, hell, meant you, Andrew. You're never any use when I need you.
Fair's fair, Miles. I've only ever heard it once. It sounded French to me.
Here you are. Gentlemen, you're Clara.
Tell me, Alice.
Yes, sir?
I understand you're looking for someone.
Yes, sir, I am. Mr. Arthur Vernet.
Arthur? Well, why didn't you say so before?
Do you know where I can find him, then?
Better than that, I can take you to him.
Oh, that's wonderful. I knew he had to be in Oxford somewhere.
Well, would you like to go and see him now?
I'd love to. Oh, but Mr. Bretnell won't like it if I just up and leave.
That's easily arranged. One thing Mr. Bretnell understands properly is money. Come along. See you later, Andrew.
I'm not paying for this, you know.
I didn't realise it'd be so far.
I live somewhere outside Oxford.
Oh, you didn't say Arthur was staying with you.
Did I not? I'm getting so forgetful.
So where is she?
She's gone.
Where?
Well, how should I know where he's taken her?
Who?
Mr. Cunningham. Don't pester me with your who's and where's. Talk to his crony over there, you must.
Are you a friend of this Cunningham?
What says to you if I am?
I want to know where he's taking Alice.
I don't see why I should tell.
You can tell me, or you can go for a swim in the Cherwell and then tell me, whichever you prefer.
Could you give me a little more out? Thank you. Staying at his house in Elsfield. Anyone there pointed out to you?
Right.
If I may ask, who are you?
I'm the man Alice has been looking for.
Oh, my lord.
In here, Alice.
Thank you. Arthur? He's not here.
No. The truth of the matter is, Alice, he's never been here. Indeed, I've never clapped eyes on the man.
Oh, but you said that
I know, I was just making it a little easier for you to accept my invitation.
What invitation?
For us to spend a pleasant few hours together.
Oh, you keep your distance or I'll scream the house down.
No one will heed you. All the servants know better than to interrupt me.
Keep off me.
Why not relax and enjoy the inevitable?
There's nothing inevitable about this. Wait a moment. You'd like some wine first, wouldn't you?
Well, that's a capital thought. Especially if it will make you more amenable.
Behind you on the dresser.
Right. Now, touch me again and you'll get this bottle in your face.
Alison, no. Now, don't be stupid.
I've done one stupid thing by believing you were a gentleman. I'm not going to do another. Come get me now if you like and we'll see how you fancy some nice gouges out of them pasty cheeks.
You keep that bottle away from me.
Oh, perhaps it'd be better if I cut you on some other part of your body.
You're crazy.
Only if I let an animal like you touch me.
Now, who the devil?
Arthur.
Damnation, take it.
Are you all right, Alice?
It's me you should be asking, sir. Being threatened by this lunatic in my own home.
Believe me, Cunningham, if you'd harmed her, I would have cheerfully used that bottle on you myself. Come along, Alice.
This is yours, I believe, Mr. Cunningham.
Get out of my house, both of you!
It can't be soon enough. And you won't object if the lady has the use of your carriage back into town, will you? What in the world brings you here, Alice?
My mother died last month. Her heart, the doctor said.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it was for the best, really. She was in awful pain last winter with her bad back. So, well, then I had nothing to keep me in Langston.
What about your employment?
What a terrible row with the housekeeper.
I seem to remember she was a rather sour woman.
She has a mood on her like a cornered rat. And she never liked me anyway. I was sure she'd try and get me out. So I left. That way she couldn't have the satisfaction of throwing me out.
How did you get to Oxford?
By the railway. Use those sovereigns you gave me.
You hadn't spent them?
No. While I kept them, I had something to remind me of you. And I thought they'd bring me luck. Which they have. Or is it a bad thing that I'm here?
No, Alice. It is not. And now you are here. We must find somewhere for you to stay.
No, I've got a room at that place of Brecknell's.
We can do better than that.
Oh, Arthur.
The Golden Cross in the corn market will look after you properly.
Oh, couldn't I stay with you?
That would be a riot if you were discovered in the college. Oh. And you would be. There's no possibility of keeping you hidden from the scouts.
Well, who are they?
The fellows.
Oh, fellows.
Who look after us. That's what they're known as.
But if you were living in a college, how is it that no one knew your name?
Oh, well, that's rather a long story. Will this room do, Alice? We can find another one if it's not to your taste.
Well, it's lovely, Arthur. But were you sure this is all right?
What do you mean?
Well, do you really want me to stay?
Of course. Why shouldn't I?
Oh, after what you told me about your family.
They're not here.
But other people are. You can't be seen walking out here with the likes of me.
Tongues do have an annoying habit of wagging, certainly.
Oh, I should never have come looking for you. It was a wild idea. Maybe that Cunningham man was right. I am crazy. I'll just get my bag from Brecknell's place and be off.
And where would you go?
Where I won't have to watch a dream turn to dust right in front of my eyes.
We haven't got to that stage yet.
But we will, won't we?
Alice, why did you come to Oxford?
I wanted to see you again, you know that.
And I'm very pleased that you did.
Oh, but...
No buts. Let us just fasten for now on the positive idea that you're here, and you're safe, and you're comfortable.
Oh, Arthur.
And let me do a little thinking.
Now, what precisely is my role in this discussion, Arthur? Am I locum tenens for your father?
There would be no need for a discussion in that instance. I know what he would say.
That you've taken leave of your senses, even to consider associating with a young woman so far beneath your own social station.
Those would be exactly his words.
He does have right on his side.
Does he?
As he sees it, he can hardly countenance a below-stairs origin for the next Viscountess Hawksley with equanimity.
That's somewhat premature.
But it will have to be faced.
Perhaps.
It is becoming clearer to me the part I have to play. It is that of your conscience.
That would be what my father would think.
But I don't intend to be partisan. I merely to prompt you to identify what you believe your true interests to be.
Do you know what they are?
It would be presumptuous of me to say so, but there are some signs.
Such as?
You could have hidden behind your pseudonym. The girl would probably never have found you. Yet you chose not to hide.
It seemed likely she was in trouble.
Oh, my dear Arthur, you could spend 10 lifetimes and 10 fortunes trying to help all the people in trouble and not even begin to address the problem. Quite clearly, There was a strong personal motive at work.
Well, of course, I'm fond of her.
Or were fond of her?
No, am fond of her.
I imagine there is bound to be some lingering affection from a past liaison.
There's more to it than that. And there's more to her.
Well, for example?
She has spirit. Most ladies would have fainted away if they'd been abducted. Alice was ready to cut Cunningham's heart out.
Not one of the social graces often called for, but it certainly suggests strength of character.
So does tracing me here.
Quite so. As I expected, you are making a case for your emotions running deep. Whether they are deep enough, only you can judge.
To overcome any social stigma, you mean?
Society is very fickle. There have been cases of unlikely matches being accepted, as I understand it. Equally, you might become an outcast.
I do not regard that as an overriding argument.
Well, your father's displeasure is more predictable and potentially more devastating.
I cannot see how he could do any more than disinherit me.
Would that not be enough?
Well, it would make life difficult, but not impossible.
And chemists are not notoriously well paid.
I do have some income over which he cannot exercise control.
You seem to have no doubts. So why do you hesitate?
I have never contemplated such a step before, let alone when every argument save my own conviction stands against it. Is it any wonder I hesitate?
The girl is cautious for the same reason, you said.
Yes.
Well, then, perhaps the university vacation can assist.
In what way?
You have weeks of opportunity, with little of the usual social pressure, to get to know one another better.
Are you suggesting living as man and wife?
I could not possibly advocate any such course of action. And what would your father say?
If you were my father, this conversation would have come to an abrupt halt long ago.
Arthur, you have a chance, both of you, to see whether your feelings are genuine. You might as well use it. Before you take any decision, either of you may come to regret.
Have you fetched your belongings, Alice?
Such as they are, yeah.
I know. We must see about some new clothes for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
Still, we will see to it. But first things first.
Right. Well, I've been thinking about us.
So have I. And I have a suggestion to make.
So have I.
All right. Ladies first.
That's just it, isn't it? I'm not a lady.
I keep telling you that doesn't matter.
Well, it should. It's nice of you to say you don't mind, but you'd be ashamed of me sometime, somewhere, and pretty soon too, I wouldn't wonder, knowing me.
Alice.
Well, that's not your problem, it's mine, and down to me to solve it. I've got to do some improving.
I'm not asking you to change.
I know, but that's just you being gentlemanly. I've got to try. Nothing's going to work otherwise. I can read well enough, so that's how I'll begin. See if I can learn. I've already started. Look. Borrowed their newspaper here.
You are in earnest, then?
Of course I am. And I hope to God it works, because I don't want to leave you now I've found you. And I promise you I will leave if I can't take anything in, if I'm too stupid. But will you let me stay while I try?
I would want you to stay anyway. But if that is really what you intend...
Oh, it is.
Then you'll get all the help I can give you.
Oh, if I read things I don't understand, you'll explain them.
And I'll get you books.
And maps.
Ah.
Well, I need to know where places are. Ah. And you'll have to tell me when I say things wrong.
Wrongly. If we've started already.
Yes, we have. Oh, Arthur, am I crazy? Or can I do this, do you think?
Mr. Bennett was so odd... a mixture of quick parts, sarcastic humour, reserve and...
Caprice.
What's that?
Changing mood.
That the experience of 23 years had been insufficient to make his wife understand his character. Well, she wasn't very bright then.
That is partly the point. Read on a little further.
The business of her life was to get her daughters married. It's
solace.
What's that?
Pleasure or consolation.
was visiting and news. Oh, Lord, I hope I don't end up like her.
Little danger of that.
If I work for you when you become a Viscount, what would I call you?
Your Lordship.
Well, that's what I had to call the Earl.
And a Marquess and a Baron. Only a Duke is called Your Grace.
There's something in the newspaper about the Suez Canal. Where's that?
Egypt.
Oh. Well, we've talked about that, haven't we? Isn't that the country with the pyramids? And, oh, that big animal statue.
The Sphinx.
That's it. Why are they always writing about that canal?
Because it's the gateway to India.
A gloomy-looking lady she was, dark, like her brother, whom she greatly resembled in face and voice, and with very heavy eyebrows, nearly meeting over her large nose, as if, being disabled by the wrongs of her sex from wearing whiskers... Oh, I do find Dickens's sentences complicated, Arthur. Do you know where Marta Ban is?
Marta Ban? You've caught me out there. Did you see the name in the newspaper?
No. Finished that directly after breakfast. While I was waiting for the books you were bringing, I got them out. These out.
Whose letters are they?
My mother's. She had them stored away carefully in a box, so they obviously mattered a lot to her. That's why I brought them with me.
I should think they did matter. I almost feel I'm intruding, reading love letters as personal as these. They must be from your father.
Suppose so.
You don't sound very sure. Wasn't his name John?
Yeah, was. Though I never knew him. He died when I was a baby. Do you think a shopkeeper would write letters like these?
Is that what he was? And in, where was it? Marta Ban. Are the others the same? Oh, no, this one's Trang. That doesn't mean anything to me either. Anywhere else? Singapore, that's better. Was your father ever in the East?
No idea. My mother never said nothing.
Anything?
Anything, sorry.
Perhaps she had a lover. It would explain why she kept the letters so carefully.
Wouldn't explain how they knew each other. She never left England. As far as I know, she never even left Somerset.
And this man looks as if he's a colonial official, perhaps, or something similar. But there's nothing I can see in the text to tell us. I wonder who might know something more.
There's Mrs. Hayes at Langston Park House.
Who's she?
The cook. She's been there over 20 years. Well, that must be as long as my mother worked there.
Then we'll send a telegram to Edgar Grattan and ask him to speak to Mrs. Hayes.
He's not to... Oh, I don't know a word for it. Worrier. She's a nice lady.
Edgar is not as insensitive as his father, but I'll mention it just the same.
Thank you.
In the meantime, I shall bring into play someone who should help us deduce more from these letters than we have so far.
Come.
Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, come in, Arthur.
May I introduce Miss Alice Selwood?
Good Lord.
This is Professor Arbuthnot.
How do you do?
Well, the pleasure is all mine. Arthur, this is an extravagantly dangerous undertaking. Oh, do forgive me, Miss Selwood. Please sit down. I'm not exactly used to entertaining female visitors.
Thank you.
Well, how have you spirited this young lady into the college?
Some coins across a palm enabled us to use the kitchen entrance.
While everyone had their eyes closed, I suppose.
A number of the coins were to ensure that.
Now to make me your co-conspirator. It really is too bad if you are, sir.
It is in a good cause, sir.
I trust so. What is this cause?
To discover something about my past.
Is there some secret in?
There is something of a mystery, at least.
You told me nothing about this, Arthur.
I did not know myself until this morning.
Well, well, well. Then one had better risk the wrath of the college authorities and see what one can do. Oh, I must apologise, Miss Selwood. I, I would offer you tea, but that would mean ringing for a scout, which would, I fear, detonate the most frightful social explosion.
I quite understand.
I have some Madeira, I think, if it's not too early in the day.
We are both happy not to delay discussing the letters.
Ah, I see. So it is letters, is it? Oh, how delightfully intriguing.
These, which Alice found among her mother's possessions.
But I'd never seen them before then.
Indeed. I may say in passing, Miss Selwood, Arthur has told me something of the daunting task you set yourself. And my first impression is that you're demonstrating very great progress.
Thank you. Oh, I'm still making too many mistakes.
Oh, I fancy that only stops when one dies.
what do you make of the letters, sir?
No. Now, you tell me first how far your analysis has taken you.
We know they was written.
Were written.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I had no intention.
Oh, don't worry. Arthur does that all the time.
Does he? I must say, any relationship which can survive that shows commendable resilience.
I was going to say that one of them was written in Singapore, so we believe all of them come from the East. Although we couldn't identify any of the other places.
Uh-huh. Date?
Or from a period January to April, but no year.
Oh, how vexing.
But we have reasoned that beyond the age of, say, 5, Alice would have some recollection about the man of the house.
Or at least my mother would have said or done something that might have suggested a relationship.
Would you not need to have been a trifle precocious at 5?
What does that mean?
A little advanced for your age.
Oh, I think I probably was.
Yes, I'm inclined to think that you might have been. So, well now, where does that place us?
About 1856 as the latest year.
What of the paper?
Reasonable quality.
But not as good as the Earl's was.
Very well, then. We have a middle class, but not rich man, in the East, probably in the early 1850s. Now then, let's have a look at the material itself. Oh, dear me. Well, now, these are extremely personal. I hope I'm not blushing.
The sun is too bright for us to tell.
Miss Selwood, your tact is almost as remarkable as your beauty. Now, Trang. Now, these others. No, they mean nothing to me. I do have some very distant recollection of Marterban.
I thought the outside world never penetrated this far.
Well, as you yourself observed, Arthur, it sometimes forces its way into one's consciousness, nevertheless.
When people like me circumvent the watchdog at the gate.
Yes, and that is a mercifully rare occurrence. However, I know whatever the incident was, it eludes me. You should be able to identify it if you speak to the right person.
And who would that be?
Someone naval.
Why do you say that?
Because of the way the address is written.
Well, Arthur thought they might be the places a government official was visiting.
Colonial administrator on his travels up country. Unlikely, I think. With what little I know of such places, they do not have post offices at convenient intervals.
Neither does the Navy. Does it?
Yes, it does, after a fashion. Ships are detached from the fleet to take the official mail.
Quite so, and when such an opportunity were imminent, private letters would be swiftly written to take advantage of it.
There are fairly regular intervals of about 3 weeks between these letters.
You have an alert eye, Miss Selwood. That fact had escaped me. And such letters would merely be marked by the name of that day's anchorage.
It would explain why we haven't been able to find many of the place names.
It would also make more sense of the phrase in this one. I must close now. I'm keeping the bag open.
It would. And that is a telling phrase in another respect.
He has the power, no, the authority to keep the mailbag waiting, at least on his ship.
Precisely, which then ties us into the quality of the paper.
So John is an officer in a warship in the East in the early 1850s.
Unless we are very much mistaken.
Surprised by joy, impatient as the wind, I turned to share the transport. Oh, with whom but thee, deep buried in the silent tomb, that spot which no I can't even pronounce that.
Alice, we have
Arthur, received... what's vicissitude?
More dreamy Wordsworth.
Actually, this one's rather sad.
Well, you have no need to be. Vicissitude is a change of fortune, and that's what we have. We are looking for naval connections for those letters, are we not?
Yeah.
Tell me the naval towns of England.
Portsmouth.
Correct.
Plymouth.
You can stop there. That is where your mother came from.
Really? Is that what Mrs. Hayes said?
I've just received an answer from Edgar Grattan. Apparently your mother was found her position by an agency in Plymouth.
We often had to find staff that way. There weren't hardly enough people locally.
Just there weren't enough people.
Oh, sorry.
You don't have to keep apologising.
It's just every time I make a mistake, I think of who else might be there next time or the damage I might do.
You can also allow yourself a little pride at what you've achieved.
Is it enough? Are you going to let me stay here?
No.
Oh.
Because we have to leave for Plymouth.
Really?
Well, we can't let the matter rest where it is. We already know more than you were ever told. Perhaps there's still more to learn.
Oh, but from whom?
Well, Edgar surpassed himself. He searched through the Parkhouse domestic records and found the name and address of the agency in Plymouth.
No, but we're talking about over 20 years ago, or I'd remember something about it.
Yes, it was 1853. You were scarcely a year old, according to Mrs. Hayes. Oh,
so what can we hope to find after all that time?
Well, that remains to be seen. Come on, we have to pack. You don't seriously expect me to sit in first class and put you in third, do you?
But no one in your position would travel with his maid in the same compartment.
You are not, nor ever have been, my maid.
Oh, but to the rest of the world I should be, just because I aspire to be your companion.
You are my companion already.
But you know as well as I do that that will confuse people or start them gossiping. When we get to Plymouth, we become master and maid.
If that is what you would prefer.
It is. Arthur, that poem I was reading this morning...
What about it?
It said, "Neither present time nor years unborn could to my sight that face restore."
A trifle on the gloomy side.
But it might be reality. This lady we want to talk to...
Mrs. Wiseman.
Yes. Well, she could easily have died by now.
It was clever of you to find me, sir. I gave up running my little agency over 6 years ago now.
I had a strong personal reason to be persistent. I am seeking information.
What about?
A lady I know as Mrs. Selwood, whom you placed at Langston Park House some 20 years ago.
Judith! Goodness gracious, you're taking me back in time.
But you seem to remember clearly.
Oh, me and Judith were in service together. Before I met my husband, that was, and he helped me set up my little agency. But as always seems to happen, you lose contact. Does she work for you now then, sir?
No. I'm afraid I have to tell you that she is no longer alive.
Poor Judith. God give her peace. There is no knowing in this life, is there, who'll be gathered in next.
It was something of a release, or so I understand from her daughter.
Oh, that Alice?
Yes.
Pretty little baby she was.
No longer a baby, but still attractive.
So it's Alice who works for you?
In a manner of speaking. And now, Mrs. Wiseman, who was Mr. Selwood?
It was all a long time ago, sir. These are matters which are best left to rest with Judith now, aren't they?
On the contrary. I have undertaken to help my maid establish the facts.
Well... If you insist.
I do.
Very well. Oh, it's an old story. There was no Mr. Selwood. That was Judith's maiden name. She took on the Mrs. to make it sound more respectable, like a widow.
And you found her a position some way away to give her a new start.
And it worked, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
I see no reason to feel ashamed of helping her. I'd do the same again.
I'm not here to criticise, Mrs. Wiseman. Do you know the identity of the father?
You'd think, living in a naval town, she'd know the risks. I told her...
The man was in the Navy.
This video was uploaded to the channel
Thinking Out Louder. Please like, comment and subscribe to the Thinking Out Louder channel. Thank you.
A lieutenant. That and nice enough in his ways. Not rough like the sailors we have to suffer round here. But he still played the same dog trick on her, didn't he?
What was his name?
John?
That much I know.
I'll have to think for a moment. It was a long time ago.
And did he refuse to acknowledge the child?
Ah, well, that was Judith's fault. She never told him.
Why on earth not?
She didn't find out she was expecting until well after his ship had sailed. That's always the way, isn't it? And then she didn't want to worry him, she said. Oh, as if any man was going to do that, let alone any sailor.
But why move away? Why not wait for his return?
Because he stopped writing. So she gave up any hope of him making her child legitimate. When I said I could find her a place, she decided to cut clear away from her past.
Did you ever see this lieutenant again?
No. If I had, I would have shaken the ghost into him for being such a ne'er-do-well. Quite the reverse of my dear husband. Oh, God rest his soul. Now, there was a man. Oh, now I recall. Trevane. That was his name.
So my father is John Trevane.
So it seems.
Only seems.
I gained the clear impression that there was no other man in your mother's life. Or at least not at the time you were born.
But no proof.
Not yet.
Why yet? How could we ever have proof? Well, even if my mother had told him, he could have denied it, said someone else was the father, and he would have been believed. Could even be true. This is a seaport. People born like me probably make up half the population.
Alice.
I'm sorry, it's just when all your life you thought you knew who your father was and what he was. It's a shock to find out it was all lies.
Would you rather your mother had told you the truth?
Yes. Well, no, not at first, when I was young, I suppose, but she could have said something later, when I was old enough to understand.
Perhaps she was ashamed of it.
Perhaps I am now. Look at the extra distance it places between you and me now, when I'm not even... Oh, damn it, what's the word? When I haven't even got a proper father.
But you have a father. And before we fall to cursing the devil and all his works, let us consider how we take our next step.
And what's that?
To learn more about your father.
How?
By using my father, or at least his name. An inquiry from me will be treated like one from him.
I don't understand.
Well, someone my father knows will know someone else who works at the Admiralty.
Oh, that was in the newspaper last week. It's from there that the Navy's administered, isn't it?
That's right. And government departments have clerks in their employ whose sole function is to record minute detail. In those dusty archives will lie what we want. Now we have verified the date when your mother knew John Trevane, we shall be able to learn the names of his naval contemporaries 20 years ago. And then we can see whether any of them are to be found in Plymouth. Alice, it was your idea to masquerade as my maid, and I now see the sense of it. You could have remained safe at the inn.
If this Admiral Priestley has something to say of John Trevane, I want to hear it with my own ears.
These are no streets for a woman to be walking at night.
Oh, do you doubt my ability to give a good account of myself?
And let us just say I would rather it were not put to the test.
It isn't far now, is it?
No, his house should be only just down here. But I think we'd best move across the street, not to provoke these sailors.
Oh, there are only two of them.
Yes, but they're already a sheet in the wind.
Hurry! You! The top with a jam tart!
Devil take the man.
They're not going to let us pass quietly.
I'm afraid not.
Now, here's a pretty pair.
Well, mine's pretty. It only ought of yours.
Let's move across to the other side, Alice.
Not so fast, Cully. So it's Alice, is it? Yeah, I've not an Alice before, are we, Jacko?
Not that I can remember.
We'll enjoy you special, Alice.
How dare you talk to a lady like that? You're asking for a good jacket.
Who's going to give it to me, you?
If I have to.
Don't make me laugh. Would you bugger lugs, serve you stale between your ribs.
Arthur?
I can see it.
You'll feel the knife too, I warrant you. Don't stand there like a wet goose, Jacko. Get hold of the girl.
Right.
Oh, damn me. I never saw a lady kick like that.
I'm not a lady, not yet.
Are you all right, Jacko?
Of course I'm not.
You better make sure you're worth all this, Alice.
What the devil's this blasted commotion? Sparbs, there's a red flag at the masthead here. Morrison, my pistols at once, man.
Very good, sir.
Leave it, Dusty. It's getting too hot. Come on.
Are you young people all right?
Yes, thank you, sir. They got more than they bargained for, I fancy.
Yes, I saw one had a good noser. Mm. Well done.
I don't think the other one will forget me too quickly.
Good for you, young lady. Just sorry it had to be sailors. Mm. The Navy seems to get nothing better than the sweepings of every big city's rookeries nowadays. Not an honest man among them. But come in, and let me pour you a glass of the Navy's apologies.
Your pistols, sir.
Oh, good grief, it's too late now, man. The battle's fought and won.
Oh, sorry, sir.
Put those down and get some brandy out for our guests. Look lively.
Oh, very good, sir.
Where did you learn to kick like that?
I didn't learn it. It just seemed the obvious thing to do.
I'm glad we're on the same side.
Extraordinary. You were actually coming to see me.
That's right.
We believe you might have been a young officer at the same time as John Trevane.
John? I should say so. We were midshipmen together.
Ah.
That was in the old Cornwallis with Black Jack Weston in command.
Yes.
Fierce old buzzard he was, with a squint like a bag of nails and a manner to match. What's your interest in John?
I believe I'm his daughter.
Well, if that doesn't take the biscuit. I never knew he had a child.
He probably does not know himself.
Does not? Sounds to me like you're a dispatch or two short. We had to give John the deep six all those years ago.
I beg your pardon?
We buried him at sea.
Neither present time nor years unborn could to my sight that face restore.
Well, yes, I wouldn't have expressed it quite that way, but you have the measure of it. Pity to be the one to tell you. Thought you must have known.
How did it happen?
We were both with old Austin's squadron when he took Rangoon. What would that be now, in 52? I was in Rattler, that was the flagship, and John was in Salamander. He took a stray bullet from shore. Chance shot, really. Damnable luck. And not a bad wound, everyone thought. But that vile climate out there was no help. He took on a fever, and that was that.
You said Rangoon. Was a place called Martaban in Burma as well?
Yes. Oh. A smaller place, though, only needed four ships, and some soldiers, of course. We took that the week before we moved on Rangoon.
Oh, so that's why the last letter came from there.
You know, when I look at you carefully, young lady, I am strongly reminded of John. Extraordinary. The eyes especially.
Tell me something about him.
I don't know what you'd like to hear.
What type of man he was?
Firm in his friendships. A sociable companion, though not a great drinker. Respected by his men because he didn't treat them like sewer rats. Although most of them were, mark you.
What do you know of his family?
Now I'll have to dredge around in the recesses for that. Cornwall. That was it. Up on the north coast. What was it? Penlithit, I think. He came into the family house up there. Only son, so far as I know.
I don't suppose you know what became of the estate.
No idea, but you know what families are. They'd all be in there like weevils in a biscuit, trying to get their hands on whatever they could.
Not knowing that John Trevane died with an heir.
And I suppose you'll have to let the lawyers get their carrion hands on this.
I expect so.
Do you know any in Plymouth?
We know only one person in Plymouth other than you.
And all the advantage of that is on my side, my dear young lady. It is an idle thought, but I suppose you are already spoken for.
I am honoured, sir, but yes, I am spoken for.
Ah, this young rogue, I suppose. Oh, well, we'll drink your health at least. Morrison?
Yes, sir.
More brandy.
Very good, sir.
And be quick about it.
Can you recommend a lawyer to whom we could speak?
Recommend is too strong a word. Blennerhorn's an oily swab, and he has a vile tailor. His clothes fit him like a purser's shirt on a handspike. But he knows his law books and his wretched precedents. If there's a way, he'll know.
Comparable cases do not inspire confidence. There was Castlebury versus Castlebury in 54, when I...
Just lay out the salient points for us.
Consider first the matter of the letters, then. By whom were they sent?
Oh, surely that's clear enough.
Enough is here the operative word.
Are you saying they're not written by Trevane?
The name never appears. Only John. It is not, I think you would agree, an uncommon name.
But there wouldn't have been many who were officers in HMS Salamander at that time.
But, my dear young lady, we do not have the name of the ship either, nor even the year these were written.
The combination of the place names, where the ship was known to have been in 1852, is rather too much of a coincidence, is it not?
The law deals in proofs. Not in coincidences.
But the handwriting could be checked against something else which Trevane had written.
If such a document could be found. And even then, the precedents are not auspicious. In the Crown versus Allardyne, there was the...
You also called the recipient of the letters into doubt.
Simply, a woman called Judith.
That was my mother's name.
I do not doubt it. But it is also the name of many women, which, in the absence of any surname, is what even a moderately astute counsel would say.
And all this, even though Mrs. Wiseman can give evidence of the relationship between Judith Selwood and Lieutenant Trevane.
Not evidence, sir. Hearsay. Oh. The law is not a friend of hearsay.
It seems to me the law is no friend of nobody.
Of anybody. Do crave your pardon, I had no intention to...
Just proceed.
Very well. There is an overarching consideration. Even if the date and provenance of the letters and the identity of their recipient could be established, even, I say, there is never any mention of a child.
So I don't exist?
Not in law.
But if her identity could be proven...
Then, in the absence of any other child, she could be the rightful inheritrix. If, of course, there is any estate worthy of the name. But the proofs, sir, they are singularly lacking.
You have made your opinion on that subject abundantly clear.
When one comes into the world in more orderly fashion, there's naturally a certificate of birth. But in this case...
Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, no personal slight is intended, my dear young lady, but the law is, as they say, the law. I think we agreed 3 guineas, did we not?
So, we have only one avenue left. That I can see.
What's that?
Go to Penlithid. Find out who is in residence now.
To what purpose?
To talk to them. They should be your family, after all.
Oh, I can't believe they'll want to be associated with me. In law, I don't exist, remember?
Which just shows what nonsense the law can be.
My family may not think so.
Oh, there's only one way to find out.
I suppose so.
Good. That's settled. I'll leave first thing in the morning.
You? On your own?
You've seen the map. Penlithid is on a very isolated part of the coast. It's the sort of area that might well not take kindly to strangers. Who knows how roughly they might treat a woman?
That was tried on the streets of Plymouth, and as I recall, the woman took good care of herself.
In the first round. But what would have happened if Admiral Priestley hadn't appeared at his door calling for artillery?
This is my life we're trying to...
Disentangle?
Whatever you like, you're not going without me.
But Alice...
Let me finish. I can see the problem, but I can solve it. With the right clothes and my hair cut, no one need know who I am.
Pretend to be a man?
Well, it would have to be a boy. My voice would never be...
Plausible?
Oh, that's right.
But Alice...
There's no argument, Arthur. We go together or we don't go at all.
I wonder if everyone's younger brother is so self-willed.
Are you sure you and your brother want to stay?
Certain. Why else would we be here?
We don't often have visitors in Penlithid, see?
There's more business that brings me here.
Is it? How long would you be staying?
A few days. Depends on the business.
Well, I suppose we could make a room up. It won't amount to much, though. The one room we normally have is taken.
Oh, that's all right. I'm sure we can make do.
You might be surprised. You don't look as if you had to rough it much.
My brother is a little pale because he's just getting over an illness.
I hope you're not bringing it here.
No, I'm better now.
Because we got enough troubles of our own in this part of that county. Isn't that right, Peter?
It's a place for unquiet spirits, right enough. Yeah. There's Boris and Necton, him that had his head lopped off. He's still walked and raised his silver bell.
That sounds, if you'll forgive me, like a very tall tale.
Jonas here has seen him.
I have. And I've heard Arthur's army fighting down at Slaughterbridge. I tell you, we none of us rest easy here.
I know you'll forget the miners who still work the old tin mine. The sound of their picks can still be heard.
Now that you've learned the major attractions of the countryside around, perhaps you'd like to join me.
That's very civil, Mr.
Ryder, George Ryder. More ale, Mr. Polzin, if you please.
Right.
These country putts take a delight in trying to frighten a newcomer. I suffered the same pantomime the night I arrived.
Ah, so you're the gentleman in the only guest room they have.
I think guest room is something of an overblown description.
They seem to take all the stories seriously.
Well, perhaps they do. They're a credulous bunch, although they do have reason to think something is amiss in the mine.
Oh, surely not the ghostly tin miners he was talking about.
I doubt it, but something kills the sheep that are found up by the mine entrance now and again, with their throats cut.
Or someone.
Perhaps.
What brings you here, Mr. Ryder? We were told hardly anyone comes to Penlithid.
I come to paint. This is a splendid coastline for an artist to use as his material.
I'm a great admirer of James Turner's seascapes. Is your work anything like that?
Only in its subject matter, I'm afraid. Ah, here's the drink at last. Thank you, Mr. Polzin.
The room will be ready for you two directly.
Thank you.
Only a little for me.
Come on, lad. I'll put a bit of colour in your cheeks.
I'd really rather not.
All right, as you wish. So, you have business here, I heard you say, Mr... I don't think I caught your name.
Beresford. Yes, a legal matter. I have to go to Penlithid House. Do you know it?
I walk past the gate every day on my way to the cliffs.
But you're not acquainted with the owner?
Murchison, no. But then I don't know that many people in this room could say yes to that question. Keeps himself to himself.
Can you tell us anything about this Murchison?
Seems to me that a lawyer with business at that house ought rather to be able to tell me.
Well, my business goes back a long way into the past, to the previous owner.
Oh, what, Murchison's mother?
No, before that.
Well, that goes further back than I know about.
How is it that you know anything if you only walk past the gate?
They may not count Ronald Murchison as their friend, these people, but they gossip about him right enough.
What does the gossip say?
That Murchison's mother was a distant cousin of the previous owner, who apparently died without any direct family. So the house came to her. She was already a widow when she arrived here with her son, and she didn't last long herself.
What did she die of?
She went mad, they say. Something about the life here cracked her. Maybe one of these ghosts caught her unawares. I don't know. Any road, she threw herself one night into Hell's Mouth.
What on earth's that?
That's what they call the cove below the cliffs hereabouts. It's a real ship's graveyard. And hers, too. So that just left Ronald. More beer, lad.
Oh, no, thank you, really.
Do you always take your brother with you on business, Mr. Beresford?
Not at all. It seemed that a little sea air might do him some good after his illness.
Well, you'll get plenty of that. Wind's been freshening all day. We'll be lucky to get away without a storm. Now, don't let my chattering keep you. Your room will probably be ready for you by now.
Do you still think it was a good idea to accompany me?
Oh, this is no worse than the first room I had when I started at Langston Park House, Arthur. And I don't believe in ghosts.
Even ones that cause ladies to throw themselves off cliffs.
Ooh, that was terrible. What on earth could have happened to her?
It could have been an accident. Except that people in their right minds do not court danger on cliff edges. So perhaps she was out of her senses after all.
So, do we go to the house next?
Having come this far, we can only go on. We must size up this man Murchison for ourselves before we decide what is our best course.
And watch our backs while we're doing it.
Are you referring to Ryder?
Oh, I certainly am. All that false...
bonhomie.
What on earth's that?
Friendly nature.
Well, then why don't people say so?
It's not fashionable.
But it's easier to understand.
What's that got to do with fashion?
Oh, I sometimes wonder if I want to become a lady. The rules are so ridiculous.
Well, even ridiculous rules are better than chaos, which is what there'd be if we had none at all.
Oh, but there's so much pretense.
Well, that should work to your advantage. If everyone's busy acting out their own chosen roles, they won't have time to worry about you acting out yours.
Oh, I wish I could be as confident as you. I didn't like the way Ryder talked, and that tone of voice suggesting he didn't believe what he was being told.
Well, he did have every right. Some of it wasn't true.
And don't you think it was suspicious, the way he tried to make me drink that disgusting beer?
There is certainly something not straight about him. I don't know what his game is, but he is playing one of that, I'm sure. Any true artist would not let my deliberate mistake of calling Joseph Turner by the name of James go uncorrected.
Is Turner someone else I should learn about?
Very probably, but not tonight. Yes, yes, I know. I'll see what he wants. What is it, Mr. Palsy?
It's the storm, sir. This wind is enough to blow the orange out of the devil. And sure enough, it's brought a ship into hell's mouth. Every extra pair of hands out there might save a life.
I'll come at once.
Thank you, sir. I'll have a lantern ready for you down below.
What are you doing, Alice?
I'm coming with you.
That is nonsense. I can't believe this is going to be anything other than highly dangerous.
Oh, for a woman.
Well, yes.
But here, I'm not a woman. I'm your younger brother.
Yes, but...
And that disguise will be worthless if I don't make an appearance now.
They heard me say last night you'd been ill.
But even if I had been, I couldn't just lie here while poor folk out there are drowning. I can't imagine why you're taking so long. Men's clothes are so easy to put on.
It's a pretty night for an outing, isn't it?
Pretty for us.
Halcyon's gone on ahead. Since I know the path, I'll take you to the beach.
Lead on.
Anxious for a spot of heroics, are you, lad? There won't be much of that, I fancy. More than a bloody mess. But tread carefully or you'll turn your ankle on one of those stones.
Has the Coast Guard been called?
Well, they've sent someone to bring them, but I don't know if they'll show up.
Why shouldn't they?
There's only so many of them to go round. With this wind straight on shore, you could have shipwrecks everywhere from Pendine Watch to Bude.
But that's terrible.
Well, if you're not careful, Palsing and the others will be down like gannets on anything that's washed ashore from the wreck. Well, now you can see why they call it Hell's Mouth.
That ship will be smashed to pieces in no time.
I can see people on the rigging.
It looks as if they're making ready to jump.
Well, if the waves don't knock them about too much, they might make it to dry land.
Then for God's sake, let's get down there and help them.
Got a lot of spirit, that brother of yours?
Hey there! There's one in the water over there!
Towards the beach.
Here, let me take over.
Right.
Look out for that wood coming in. Oh, damnation.
Got this one now. You go back.
Oh. You all right, Alice?
Oh, daughter, it hit me on the back of the head.
Let's get you out of the water first, then we'll look at it.
Ouch.
I'm sorry, but I have to see. Oh, yes, damn it. There's quite a cut there. I'm taking you back to the inn right now.
You're on the ship?
No, we've been trying to help, but several of the crew have made it to the beach.
The cargo's coming in. Anyone in charge down there?
I suppose Palsine is, if anyone.
Oh, Seth Palsine. Well, better the devil you know.
Who is he?
He looks like an excise officer. Come to lay hands on the cargo before the gannets do. Why should an exciseman make Ryder fade away into the darkness? How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, could wish for less pounding in my head.
You were lucky. If one of the ship's spars that were in the water had caught you, you might not even have your head on your shoulders.
I think it would be better if I didn't try to come with you today.
I would not hear of it. You have to rest and mend that wound before all else. And in any case, I do not think that there is anything lost by keeping from Murchison a little longer that John Trevane's daughter is here.
You're going up to the house?
I thought I might remain in the role of lawyer that I adopted when I arrived.
Well, I don't know that Ryder believes that.
Perhaps not. But who knows if anyone else in the bar last night has ears that listened for Murchison and heard me say that. The change in my tune would be difficult to explain.
And what's your business with Mr. Murchison?
I am sure you appreciate that I can only discuss that with him.
I don't appreciate that at all, you gawk, or I wouldn't ask the question.
Legal matters have to be dealt with only by the person concerned, or by their legal adviser, which I think it is safe to assume is not your role in life.
My role is to be Mr. Murchison's right hand. which I'd like to stuff in your meat mincer so hard your teeth will think they're church bells.
That would, however, make it more difficult for me to say what I have to say.
Then say it to me. Mr. Murchison and me has no secrets.
That's easy enough to maintain. But I would still have to have it confirmed by Mr. Murchison himself.
Are you on the snap? I tell you, if you try and half-inch something here, I'll break both your arms.
Do you threaten all your visitors with such violence, I wonder?
We don't have no visitors.
There could, of course, be a sound reason for that.
Why don't you just stall your jabber and tip your rags and gallop out of here?
If Mr. Murchison's vocabulary is as colourful as yours, we're in for an amusing conversation.
You're not in for any conversation at all.
Oh, I think we are. I don't believe you would want to be responsible for his not hearing what I have to say.
Oh, to his advantage, is it?
Let's say it could well have a marked influence on his future.
Right. I'll see what he says. But I tell you, if you upset him, you'll wish you'd done a shift while you had the chance.
Who is it? Mr. Ryder! I'm afraid I must ask you to leave.
Not so loud. Or you'll have the whole inn hearing our talk.
I asked you to leave.
When I'm ready.
I'm trying to get over the effects of the blow on my head, and this is certainly not going to assist.
Can't say that'll worry me.
If you don't get out this instant,
Yes? Beat me to death with a pillow?
Oh, you are no gentleman, sir.
No. Then I'm not the only one, am I?
God, would you kindly say whatever is on your mind and then leave?
I just thought it was time for a little discussion, man to man. Although in your case it's hardly the appropriate phrase, is it?
This is him, Mr. Murchison.
So, Mr. Beresford, you're a lawyer, are you?
That's correct.
Well, you don't look like any lawyer I've ever seen.
I was not aware that there was only one way for lawyers to look.
I told you he had a slippery tongue.
Yes, all right, Epsley. Shall we just say, Mr. Beresford, that whatever you are, I don't like the look of you.
I shall pass on your opinion to my tailor.
If you've got anything sensible to say, I suggest you get on with it. Or you might find yourself making your exit from this house at the end of Epsley's boots.
I appreciate it must be difficult to obtain good staff this far out in the country. But I have to say that employing such a ruffian at your door can do little for your social standing.
Why, you little plotted...
All right, Epsley. Perhaps you are a lawyer after all. Who else would think of social standing as a valid argument to put to me? Now, Mr. Beresford, you came here to pitch a tale. Let's hear it.
Do you want your assistant to hear it as well as you?
I told you,
just
Mr. Murphy.
Proceed.
Very well. This concerns your inheritance.
I don't believe it. Someone's left me some money.
No. I was referring to the inheritance you already have.
This house? I got this from my mother.
Yes, I heard about that. Terrible accident. If that indeed is what it was.
Do you know any better?
I hope you plan to get to the point damned quickly.
The point is that there may be another claimant to that inheritance.
What? You've bet on the wrong side of the post if you believe that. I was my mother's only child.
I'm prepared to take your word for that. It has no bearing on the case.
Well, no other relative could have a claim before me. She only had one brother and he died before her.
Did he throw himself off a cliff too?
So you're talking rubbish.
I was not referring to someone with a prior claim over you.
What then?
Someone with a prior claim over your mother.
There was no one. The lawyers hummed and hawed for a year, but they never found any other relatives of Trevane.
If they'd been more conscientious, they would have found a daughter.
Of Trevane's? He never married.
The two do not have to go hand in hand.
But why would anyone wait this long? It makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense if neither she nor Trevane knew the truth.
Until now.
That's right.
Well, now I've lost patience with you. It was an original story along the way, but it's becoming preposterous.
It's true, nevertheless.
Enough's enough. It's time for you to leave.
I thought you'd never say the signal, Mr. Murchison. Why did you let him go on so?
It amuses me to see what outlandish stories they think up to cloak their true identities.
So you think he's another one?
No doubt of it. Although I wasn't sure at first, because he marched up to the front door bold as a miller's shirt. It seemed too obvious a trick.
Are we going to get rid of him the same way?
Yes, I'll do that now. Then when you get back, we must talk about a change of plans. Hmm? If they've sent two in succession, they're obviously getting a smell at us. We may need to hold on the slack for a while.
What the devil? Put me down.
Oh, you're awake, are you, my beauty? Certainly you can go down. Oh, I'm glad to be shot of you. You're heavy as a stone. Now, on your feet and get moving.
Where are we going?
You know the old tin mine is haunted by ghosts of miners?
Oh, I've heard that said, yes.
Well, you're going down to join them.
Do I have to walk with my hands tied?
Do you see any green in my eye? As if I'd fall for that. Once I cut you loose, you'll be off like a rabbit.
And what have you got to gain by killing me?
Because it will save me stretching the hemp, that's why.
Don't rely on that.
What?
Ryder! I never thought I'd be so pleased to see you.
Thank your lady friend.
Are you all right, Arthur?
Well, I think so. Except for a bump on the head to match yours.
Let me undo that cord. Oh,
use this knife, it'll be quicker.
Thank you.
Oh, that's better. So why did you come after me?
Mr. Ryder said you could easily be sticking your head into a noose.
And how did he come to be telling you that?
Miss Selwood, or should I say Miss Trevane, may have been good enough to fool those yoicks, but I knew she was no brother of yours. Where people are in disguise, they're generally up to no good.
Does that include you?
He's an exciseman, Arthur.
Ah, so that's why you melted away last night.
Would have been extremely unhelpful to have been recognised.
So when he discovered that we were, in fact, on the right side of the law, I could see no harm in telling him everything.
Good decision, or you're likely to be down that mine shaft with your neck broke.
And why are you hiding your identity?
So as not to scare the birds away. There's a deal of smuggling going on round here, and we've been over-eyeing Murchison for some time.
Ah.
An officer came to Penlithet a month ago and hasn't been heard of since. So come in, pick up his trail, carry his job forward.
Have you found out what's happened to him?
No, but the stories of ghosts in mine sounding so convenient, I was about to try that route when you needed bailing out. Where did you leave the rope and lantern, Miss Selwood?
Over there.
Right.
But what about him?
I didn't hold back any. He'll sleep for a lot longer yet.
Are you all right down there, Arthur?
A few bruises where I bumped against the side of the mine shaft, but I'll live.
Come along, Arthur. Let's light the lantern and get on.
My God! Look!
Yes. Seems you wouldn't have been the first one they'd thrown down here to get out of the hair.
Is he the excise man who was missing?
Yes. I came looking for dutiable goods down here. Instead, I find Billy Warwick.
But then doesn't that pin it all on Murchison?
You and I might think so, but the law is a funny animal. Oh, we'll get them for thumping you over the head, but to make sure they swing for murder, it's not easy.
What's that?
Someone's cut the rope.
I hope you enjoy it down there. I just thought you'd like to know that there's no other way out.
Murchison! What in God's name have you done with the girl?
Save your breath. If we can't get out of here, what's happened to that girl is the least of your problems.
Arthur!
Good Lord.
Alice! Are you all right?
Yes! I'll just find something to lower down to you, and then you can attach the rope to it.
What did you hit him with, Alice?
Slate.
Yeah, that would do it.
It was his footsteps on the slate that warned me he was coming. There was a nice handy-sized piece by the wall where I was hiding.
I tell you, Mr. Beresford, if you set up house with this young lady, you don't ever have an argument with her.
I'll take my chances.
And I think that's what I'd better do.
Oh, in what way?
With his cove out for the count, as well as his paid bully, the house is there for searching. Are you with me?
Us?
Yeah. We may have different interests, but we both want to go through that house. This looks like what I want. Must lead to a cellar.
But you'll never break that lock open, will you?
No, I'll need to hunt the house for the key if they've left it here. Damn their eyes. Begging your pardon, Miss Selwood.
There might be another way, if we can find the gun room. If we put enough of this powder from the shotgun cartridges into the lock and close up the keyhole tightly with cloth, we should be able to generate enough force to destroy the lock mechanism when we set the powder alight.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Oh, he studies chemistry.
If he doesn't get it right, it'd be more helpful to have studied medicine.
If I had some nitric acid, I could soak some cotton in it, which would work better. But this should do.
Oh, look. They keep pistols as well as shotguns here.
American Colt revolver. A new design, too.
I'll stake my life Murchison hasn't got that legally.
Well, it's not exactly something you'd need in Cornwall, is it?
Not if you're an honest citizen.
I wouldn't describe smugglers that way. How's it going?
This should do the trick.
How long before it goes off?
A few seconds if it's going to work. The fuse is only a short...
It worked! It worked!
Thought the idea was just to blow off the lock.
Oh, it saves you having to open the door.
That noise is bound to have attracted attention. We'd better be quick. I'll check the cellar for contraband while you two search the rest of the house.
Oh, another empty room by the look of it.
Apart from a few bits of furniture.
Arthur, look here.
It's an old sea chest by the look of it.
Yes, and look what's written on it.
Lieutenant John Trevane, HMS Salamander. There's proof, if proof were needed.
Oh, but what's it doing here?
I imagine that all his belongings on the ship were sent back in it, after he'd been buried.
And no one was here who cared.
The Navy didn't know that.
Well, they didn't know how to pack a chest, either.
That's not how it was sent, I warrant. I should think Murchison's been through it to see if there was anything valuable in there.
Oh, there's little enough here to represent a man's whole life.
There's not much room in a warship, Alice, even for officers. They have to keep their belongings to a minimum.
Oh, some books, though, at the bottom here. Poems by Tennyson. The Life of Samuel Johnson and his Bible.
And a letter, too. Unopened. Must have arrived after he was killed.
Arthur, that's my mother's writing. I'm sure of it.
Then I can't think of anyone more entitled to read it than you.
She told him. She told him after all, and he never read it. Listen, I have not wanted to trouble you all these months past, but now that time of waiting is safely over, I'm so happy and content that I must tell you. I have borne your child, a lovely, healthy, lively girl, whom I have named for the sister you lost when you were young and always mourned. So now you will have a new Alice to cherish. Our Alice.
Welcome home.
Mr. Beresford!
In here.
I've not seen as much contraband as this in one place for years. There's brandy down there, wine, tobacco. No wonder they laid in fancy new American revolvers to protect it.
Well, a knife will have to do for now.
Oh, Murchison.
This blade slices through a sheep's throat quicker than wink.
So it was you who killed them.
It doesn't take much more than a few dead sheep to keep these superstitious peasants gibbering. Makes the free trading easier when they're looking the other way for ghosts.
Well, you brought in your last cargo.
Says you. And this knife says you've done your last work as a nose. All of you.
Oh, that's brave talk, too, with one of you and three of us.
Oh, yes. You must be the one I have to thank for the pain in my head. I'll repay that, I promise. I'll save you till last.
Not if I have any say in the matter.
Well, you won't.
I thought someone who would leave people in a mind to die might not give up easily. So I brought your new American...
acquisition?
Thank you, Arthur. I brought it with me from the gun room. That is ready to fire now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You never cease to surprise me, young lady.
You don't know how to use that.
Are you willing to put that judgment to the test?
Now, perhaps we should talk sensibly about...
God! Oh. That woman's mad!
I'll get it!
I didn't mean to shoot.
Murchison didn't know that.
I thought the Chancellor was supposed to be here by now, Leonard.
My dear... Prince von Bismarck makes a point of letting ambassadors know their place by always arriving slightly after his time.
Excuse me, your lordship.
Yes, what is it?
There's someone to see you, sir, waiting in the anteroom.
I cannot possibly speak to anyone now. He'll have to wait.
He's just arrived from London, sir, and indicated it was important.
London? My God, don't tell me some crisis has broken out without our name. All right, I'd better come at once.
The gentleman requested that your ladyship should join his lordship.
Really? What on earth can this mean, Leonard?
I have not the slightest notion. I am to be informed at once when the Chancellor arrives.
Very good, my lord.
Good evening, Father. Mother.
Arthur!
What the devil are you doing in Berlin?
And who is this young lady?
I would like you to meet Alice Trevane of Penlithet. We are engaged to be married.
Great Scott!
How do you do, my lord, madam?
How do you do? Good gracious, Arthur, this is very sudden.
Not really, Mother. Alice and I met last year.
And your parents, Miss Trevane, have they travelled to Berlin with you?
No.
Arthur, I hope there is nothing here that will cause your father embarrassment.
Both my father and my mother are dead, Lady Hawksley.
I see. My apologies. What a singular chapter of misfortune.
Most unfortunate.
And what was it?
Penlithet.
Of course. Somehow the name has escaped me until now.
It's an estate in Cornwall.
Cornwall's a long way from Oxford. How did you come to meet?
We met at Lord Warminster's home.
Oh, really? How large is your estate, Miss Trevane?
Not now, Margaret. We will have to talk about this a little later. Your mother and I, Arthur, really must be back in there when Prince von Bismarck arrives. Come along, my dear.
It's such a surprise.
Congratulations, of course.
Does that mean I've passed my first test, do you think?
Flying colours.
Oh, but Arthur, look at that huge crowd of people. It's hopeless. Well, someone's bound to discover who I am.
I should hope they all do.
What?
Miss Alice Trevane, the daughter of a naval officer who died of wounds received gallantly in action.
Is that really it then, Arthur? Start of a brand new life.
It started the day you set out for Oxford.
Oh, I'm awful glad I saved those two sovereigns you gave me, Mr. Verney.
So am I, Alice. So am I.
Baron, I'd like you to meet my son, Arthur, and Miss Alice Trevane, from another very old English family, you know.
In The Salamander Chest, the part of Arthur Beresford was played by Ben Daniels, Alice Selwood by Jane Slavin, and Professor Arbuthnot by Philip Latham. George Ryder was played by Jonathan Adams, Admiral Priestley, David Brierley, Blennerhorn, John Baddeley, Miles Cunningham, Andrew Branch, Ronald Murchison, Sean Barrett, Mrs. Wiseman, Geraldine Fitzgerald, Joseph Polzine, Terry O'Brien, Brecknell, Philip Anthony, Goetcher, Snoo Wilson. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Salamander Chest was written by Grant Eustace and directed by Alec Reed.
The Salamander Chest. Next week, one not to miss as Simon Callow brings to life one of our best-loved Victorian writers and many of his colourful creations. Written by the acclaimed historian and biographer Peter Ackroyd, The Mystery of Charles Dickens is next weekend at the same time. Now, Bill Nighy stars as the actor sleuth Charles Paris in a new adventure based on the novel by Simon Brett. As ever, Charles is his own worst enemy, a man who can resist anything except temptation, especially in the form of women and alcohol. His intentions may be good, but somehow the results always go wrong. And he's been out of work for so long now, he feels he may never get a job. So when he's offered a small role in an awful play, he has to put up with the annoying cast and crew, who come with it.
You were corpsing.
No, I wasn't.
There's no use denying it. I saw you shaking when you were supposed to be dead.
That wasn't corpsing. It's an involuntary twitch. I think I trapped a nerve when I was moving stuff into my disc.
Don't insult my intelligence, Charles. I know corpsing when I see it.
Believe me, Lindsay, there is absolutely nothing remotely amusing about the message's murder.
You are a snob and an elitist.
Why is elitism bad in culture but good in sport?
This may not be Chekhov, but we are professionals being paid to make it work, so here's a little thought. While the rest of us are out there acting our butts off, why don't you join us?
And as always with Charles, murder is never far behind. Bill Nighy stars in a Charles Paris mystery, Murder in the Title, on Radio 4 Extra and BBC Sounds. this Tuesday to Friday afternoon at 1 and again in the evening at 8.
BBC Radio 4 Extra.
Where next from 2018 is Matthew Paris and Great Lives.
Our subject, Miles Davis.